त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्तुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः So one thing you'll notice in the, unlike the other Shanti mantras, the Shanti mantras that we're familiar with, at least the Sahanavavatu we're familiar with. So usually, again, just one small thing, the Vedic way that it's chanted, Shant, we usually say, right at the end, Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. This one, interesting, it goes low for whatever reason, it's beyond me, but Shanti, Shanti. And if you'll see, it has a line underneath the sha instead of a vertical line above. So that's just the intonation there. And again, we'll show the intonation in other classes I mentioned. So in any case, we also have to chant the first verse. We'll always, every class will also be chanting the first verse and then wherever we're at. So let's chant it again, part by part. And after a few classes, we'll just chant together. Om Ishavasyamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjithaha Magridah Kasya Swidhanam So again, this verse, we'll chant each class, then you'll have it by heart. That's actually how most things are known by heart. You just check. If you think I want to memorize it, then it's a little hard. If you just chant something regularly, it becomes memorized. So that's how a lot of things that I have in memory, like Purusha Suktam, I pretty much have by memory. Why? I chanted once in a while, we did puja. Now, since I've been taking official class on the whole vision of it, I've been chanting regularly just a few times a week, so now, you know, now it just flows like this. So it's not that I said I'm going to memorize, but I chant it regularly, so then it goes to memory. So this is the best way. You just anything you chant regularly, then gets in there. And again, this one, because this is the sutra, one of the two sutra mantras, or main mantra of this Upanishad, and actually the most. Maybe the most quoted of the Upanishadic statements, totally universal. Ishavasyamidam sarvam, totally universal statement. where actually this is one that just about all the different philosophies that came from India converge in this one. They all agree on this one. Like our the people in the parliaments in the different countries. They don't agree on too much, but there are few things they agree on this. So this one everybody will agree on this one. So this is an interesting one. So again, Ishavasamidam Sarvam, the one God, the one divinity, is manifest in and through everything. Just this one statement covers everything. But then because it's from such a high level, so much has to be done to break it down and go into more detail. So much so that this Upanishad, which just explains about that one in general like this, and then in half a dozen verses in more detail. This one is just a small Upanishad, but then Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is the one that expounds on this, and that one is largest Upanishad, hundreds of verses, I'm not sure, 300 or whatever, much more elaborate and everything. So this one gives it much more concise. So the concise, of course, then has to be expounded on. If it's just left at that, then it doesn't really, you know, can't, the meaning isn't conveyed enough. Again, like the example that's given a lot of the times in our day and age, you say E equals MC squared, conveys something, and we know the general meaning, but then really the subtleties of it, you have to study a lot to really know the subtleties of it, because it's, okay, energy, matter, interchangeable, one and the same, but then all the subtleties of it, we know, understand maybe a little. Maybe some of us studied it further, know more, but really to understand takes a lot more. So in this way. So as we went over in the last two classes, what happens is it's looked at from two different angles, because the reason it's looked at from two different angles is that's how I see the world as an individual. I have to tackle things from where I'm at. You can't tackle something from where I'm not. If I want to go, if I'm in Fremont and I want to go to Los Angeles, you can't say, okay, from Santa Barbara, start going on this road. You know, you have to say from Fremont, from where I'm at. So this is how we see things. How we see things, we see the duality. We see I'm an individual, and then there's this whole world. So both have to be looked at. So that's why in the Vedantic vision, what's done to unfold the vision is a nice way that this is explained, is we look at it from both sides. We look from the universal side, samashti meaning the universal. And the way we look at it, as we'd explained, is we say, okay, there's the one presence, the one God, and that one manifests as the world in and through everything. And then as you go through and look at it more and more closely, you'll see that there is just that. There's a very nice statement Swami Dayananji used to make. He'd say, you know, some people, they hear about the Hindu vision of things and they say it's many gods, right? This is how a lot of people look at it. Why are there many gods? We had a few years ago and we did some renovation at our house. Then the contractor was a Muslim fellow. So he's Muslim, I'm Jewish. We both drive to Home Depot. So he says, because he sees them into these Hindu things. So then he says, how come our vision, because our vision meaning Abrahamic religions, we see the one God, how come this thing of these many, how did you get into this thing? So they say many, and some people say the one God, but Swami Dayananji said, no, this vision is, all. There is not many gods, not one God, there's only God. Ishavasamidam saram, only that. So the division our mind makes. But in any case, so first of all, we see there's, okay, everything has to come out of one thing. So that one thing is in and through everything. And that one thing, at first, we can take as one specific thing, like this. You can say, Eka Rupa Ishwaram, God with one form. And that's perfectly good how you start. And then you say, this one is creator. Okay, so where did he go after creation, or where did she go? To Hawaii for vacation, because after so much hard work, right? It doesn't really make sense. So it's in and through everything. So that God, before and then in and through everything. So where is it not? So everything other than this is only that. It's kind of like you see the waves. Where did the ocean go? I don't see waves. I only see waves, right? I only see ripples, foam. Well, that That's the ocean is there. So the one water through the ocean, so the one in through and everything. And then we say, well, it doesn't really change, seems to be changing. Then we say, well, how can it be that it's that this whole thing, it, the whole universe is full of changes and this one doesn't change? How can that be? It doesn't make sense. So then we say, well, how does it make sense? You're lying there, you go to sleep, you do so many things in the dream, you wake up and nothing happened. So as though so much things happened. So from the vision of the upadhi, through maya, the upadhi, everything seems to happen. When finished, you see that when you don't look through the upadhi, nothing is happening. The upadhi seems to be making things move and change in this. But really speaking, it isn't. It isn't changing. So this is the one vision, the one side where we look at the external world, which is so part of the analysis like this. Then the other side of the analysis is vyashti, vichara, looking at the individual, samashti universal, vyashti individual, looking at both. So then you look at the individual and you say, well, what about me, right? Okay, the God is in and through everything. What about poor me? Like this. And then the poor me here, we say, 1 minute, the poor me is just through the upadhi. You see the through the upadhi. Because, you know, in a very similar way, I'm a conscious being, I'm aware. I'm aware. So where the awareness is in and through everything. And everything really, I'm aware. So I see. What is seeing? It's the awareness manifest as seeing. Did the awareness change? No. I feel my body. I have sense of touch. And that's tingling, changing. You know, some places comfortable, some maybe not as comfortable like this. Well, what is that? It's just reflection of the fact that I'm aware. So everything in the end becomes that I'm aware. I'm chit. Chit swarupa, my nature is conscious, aware. And it's not limited. The limitation is in what it's reflected. When the sun is reflected in anything, it becomes something smaller, limited. But the sun itself, it's huge. It's not limited like that. But all the reflections are showing you the same sun. So all the reflections are showing the fact that I'm aware, but it can't be limited by them. Because when you drop them, whether you're in deep sleep, where's your limitation? In times when the mind is quiet for a little while, where's the limitation? So limitation is in what it's reflected in, the upadhi. So now, again, this is a very short summary. We've had a little more elaborate in the whole study. Vedanta hones in on this. So then myself, I'm chit. Of course, chit is sat and chit. You can't have just chit without sat. You can't have I'm conscious and not existing. Your existence, consciousness. So externally, we saw it unchanging, unlimited existence, sat. Internally, I'm unchanging, unlimited, sat and chit, right? Sat, chit. One and the same. So I'm the consciousness, infinite consciousness. Outside, infinite existence. Now, how can there be two infinites like this? You know, how can it be that there is that one and this one? Where do they overlap? They have to be one and the same. And actually, think of it. This is actually one interesting point that's brought up then. Because the mind and the world are just counterparts, like two sides of the same coin. They rise together and fall together. The moment there's mind, there's individual and world. The moment the mind goes, where's the individual, where's the world? Think of deep sleep. Not dream. Dream is still this individual and world. Your own projected world, you say fine, but still individual and world. No mind, then you're in deep sleep. No world, no individual. Sometimes in meditation, mind is quiet. Where is the world? Where is the individual? So they rise and fall together. So they're counterparts of the same thing. That's why also what's behind them is one and the same thing. You know, what's behind the ocean, what's behind the wave, is the same water. It's not two different things. One thing. So once you remove the upadhi, one and the same. So the whole vision, Vedanta, tat tvamasi, that's why this is brought up, why the two are brought up, tat and tvam, where tat mean, you know, universal, tvam the individual. And then when you take it from the perspective of the upadhi, You have a huge ocean, you have a small wave. Totally fine. When you take from the substance behind, Brahman, the one consciousness behind one, Brahman, the one consciousness behind the other. And it's the size, the limitation has to do with the upadhi, not with the substance beyond Brahman. So here you'll say, well, the wave is something small where the ocean is big. True. But take it from the as a reflection. In one of the Panchadashi chapters, talks about the reflection as though in the cloud, because cloud later becomes the drop. So very interesting idea he has there. But in any case, if you take, in a drop of water, the reflection of the sun, how tiny, how minute, you go up to this International Space Station, Pacific Ocean becomes totally calm, you see a huge reflection of the sun. One is huge, one is tiny. True, one is limited in this tiny little drop, one is in the huge ocean, but it's the same one. So that's the difference, it's just the angle that you're looking at it in this way. So then it says it's one and the same. There isn't an external one, internal one. So, and actually one important point on this, again on the sat portion of this. This is a very, very good point, very good to contemplate on. A lot of these subtle points and directions to contemplate on, I've learned from Swami Tattvedananji. He is a real master in this. I'm sure he's a jnani. I very much recommend if he comes here again. Some of you heard him when he came. Or he's actually giving a course now in Salisbury in Pennsylvania, actually came this year. There it's a little more open than here. More limited and social distance, But in any case. So what happens is we say, I am. Because I know I exist, I don't have a question about it. And I say this is, idam, right? Idam sarvam, it says here, all this. So idam, take any object. Classical object, always given Vedanta, the pot, because you pot and clay. So the pot, like this. Okay, so you have a pot exists, so pot is, and I am. Now one of the things in this vision, what we have to do, it's the whole vision of Vedanta rests on viveka, learning to discriminate between two things in a very subtle manner. So between nama-rupa, the name and form, and between the substance. So here we have pot and we have clay. So one is substance, one is name and form. So if I see the pot and I take away, ignore name and form, there's clay. So I say this is a pot, meaning this pot is. So you take away pot, meaning name form, just is, remains. Because if you see any object I'm observing, I observe an object, there's, isness or awareness, which, as we said now, will be the same thing. Brahman, chit, and sat. As we saw, I am chit and sat, and I'm not limited. So it's chit and sat is in through everything, consciousness and existence and in through everything. So I see an object. Okay, there is a pot. I see that. So meaning there's the existence, consciousness, and form of a pot. Now I shift and I see something else, right? I don't see the pot, now I see, something else. I see a plate. So now the pot isn't there, the plate is there, satchit is still there. The whole background, whole existence, consciousness is the same. So pot is, plate is, isness is the same. One isness. Now, I say I am. When I say I am, what is it? Existence, or satchit, existence, I am. And some idea about myself. Right? When I say I am, I say satchit, existing, conscious, and some thoughts like this, and some feeling like that, and some identity with this, with family, and some identity with profession like this. So I have a persona I put on top. So if I, that's nama, rupa, name, and form. I put those aside, like deep sleep, put everything aside. Am. So amness, isness. What's the difference between amness and isness then? What is the difference? It's just an idea, the idea there is just split, my mind splits it due to identification. So I am or I is, This is a very good way when you contemplate on, think I is, I awareness is. What is am? What is? What is the difference? It's an idea. So they say, what is the demarcation line between am and is? What demarcates the two? It's our own avidya, our own ignorance. Because the thing is, the less I identify with something limited, the more I expand it. Like, here's an example. Now the political things are going on, the elections, everything. So I identify as one political party. So then people, the other political party, I'm in this group, that's in that group. Now, instead, I identify American. Do I see the difference between a Republican and Democrat? No, I don't see difference. Then I say I'm American, but these people are Canadian, these people are, you know, European, these people are African, whatever. Identify as this. Again, the mind is separating. Now I identify as human being. Do I see a difference between? No. Then I say, well, what am I? I'm living being, right? So let's say I have a dog. A lot of people, the dog is, you know, more important than the people. So a lot of people, all their Facebook posts, everything is their dog again and again. They should have Facebook special for the dogs. The dogs can see each other. But in any case, living being. I'm living being. The life in me is a difference from life in the other beings. No. So in this way, slowly, slowly, if we chop away, where's the separation? Where does it begin and end? So in this way, and actually one of the best ways then to chip away at this is the methodology we discussed in the previous course, the Driktisha Viveka. I'm the observer, so whatever is observed isn't me. Meaning it becomes part of idam, of this, the objective world. So body is idam, part of objective world, right? I see it, I experience it. Sense of touch, through a sense of touch. Well, sense of touch, how do I know it's there? Because I observe it. So sense of touch, is it me or is it the world? Actually, if we make sense of touch, if we put on the idam side, not on a hum side, where's the body identification? Just that one thing, just the one thing. Because how do we put the body on the idam side? By seeing that sense of touch is something I'm observing. I'm the drik, drishyam, the observed is sense of touch. Then I see, well, I use glass, I use the binoculars, I see. I use these eyes, I see, it's the same thing, like this. So we put the body, mind, also. How do I know their thoughts or no thoughts, or what kind of thoughts? I observe them. So then that's idam. So when I shave off and put everything as idam, then pure aham, you can say, remains. And again, it's through viveka, discrimination. Through discrimination, then there's no I am, just is. And then there isn't. The interesting thing is, with Driktirashi Viveka methodology, you start by putting something aside and dropping things. Afterwards, they become as good as a shadow. If you really go deeper into it, they become as good as a shadow. And the consciousness, existence is in and through them, in and through everything. It's not that there's a limitation. So, because once it's clear, then it just, there isn't the limitation between the things. So then am and is, there is no real difference between them. It's just how my mind is looking at, how my mind is separating like this. And again, you know, in our day-to-day, okay, I do my day-to-day stuff, I have to do it. But then it's more of a shadow, that's more, has less, it's more of a shadow existence where myself is the existence, conscious existence is the first. And that's, you know, it won't be as binding because you see through it much easier. This is the idea. So this is how, if you start looking at I am and this world is, go into isness, into am, you really look closely, you know, through this type of vision, where's the difference? So then there's just one in and through everything. So this is this vision, how it's done, how it's unfolded, you can say. Let's see a few other points on this. And then a few other points on this now. When I focus more on this vision, I am this, then it's much, everything else goes through much smoother. It's like putting the oil on, right? Oil on and things go, flow much easier. There's a nice analogy that's given. What happens is here, maybe we're not as familiar with, but in India, there's a fruit, the jackfruit. A lot of you are familiar with jackfruit, I'm sure, right? Big one, spiky on the outside. So when you cut it and you want to pull the pulp out, it's very, very sticky inside. So if you put your hand in, it gets all sticky. All this stuff sticks to your hand and it's very hard to get it off. So what they do when they cut it, they put oil on the hands and on the knife, then you cut it and then it doesn't stick to you, then much easier to pull it out like this. So they say this vision is the same kind of thing. Other things stick to us. My identification with other things, then things stick, and then my identification, I like this, I don't like this. I want this, I don't want that. And then the identification naturally brings that up. And so it brings raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. And then, you know, then it becomes like the gerbil on the wheel, right? Running after some, there's some snack there, running after it and never getting to it. Right? Our life running after something and never completely getting it, never completely quenching like this. You know, we get little bits here and there. The masters, they say we get little crumbs here and there, but then afterwards, then what? So this is what happens. So this one, this vision, this is the idea. Learning to shift the attention more to this vision and less to the other, then it helps to free me like this. Now, in here then, he says that Ishavasam idam sarvam, and he talks about jagat, the world, jagat. And actually, the nice thing when you look at these things, the etymology of the words used in the text, the etymology itself acts to explain a lot of the things. So the etymology of jagat comes from ja for jayate, to be born. Ga for gam, gachati, to move, meaning to change. So what is the world? The world is something which is born, and as it's born, it's changing, meaning constant change. It's something that is never still. Samsara means same thing. Samyaksarati, something which is violently, constantly moving and changing, like this. So the world itself is a phenomenal world. It's a phenomena. Look, like a phenomenal show. So we say this is an object. Here's an eraser. We say this is an object. But really, an object is just a way for the mind to hold on to something within the midst of the change. Because there is no such thing as that object just as a limited object. Because it's constantly changing. The moment it's formed, it's getting unformed. It's, you know, it's never going to be. And also, if we look at it closer, what is it really? Violent movement of tiny little particles and jumping in and out of existence. Is there really something, a solid object like this? So anything that's there right away is going away. So if I start looking at the world as a changing phenomena that it's not something solid that I'll hold on to, then also changes my vision of it. Because instead of wanting to hold on to everything, I understand it's something that's just passing by, flowing by, right? E equals mc squared, it's E, you know. Everything is E, everything energy, changing. Shakti, the energy, always changing, going. So then, hold on to something, you'll hold on, but then for how long? And then it also changes. So I do maintenance to keep it there. No matter how much maintenance, eventually also, it'll also go like this. So this is also something. And whenever there's phenomena, there's something behind it. There's phenomena, and then there's the noumenon. The noumenon has to be what is behind it. They'll say there's electricity. Yes, it is movement of electrons. Okay, it's electrons like this. So this whole world show, well, there has to be something behind it. What is it that's behind it? He's saying, Ishavasam idam sarvam. The one consciousness is in and through behind it. So changing and seeing in this way also helps to understand, to see. And whatever is coming towards me will get there for some time, go away. Whatever I have now, perfectly good. And it'll be for some time, and then it'll also go away because it's changing this very moment. Everything constantly in flux, changing this moment. So it's not something that the solid reality. Again, it's a model that our mind makes in order to be able to deal with the objective world like this. Literally, it's like a hop from the objects, holding onto objects as solid things, and going to this type of idea of everything is just a phenomenon, is like a jump from Newtonian physics to Einstein's physics, like this, right? And it's not going all the way to the end, but it's, you know, takes you a good way to seeing the world differently. And myself, my body, mind are included, they're part of the idam. Body, mind also part of it. They're also constantly changing. No matter what I'll do, they're changing. There's a story in the Bhagavatam to show about this, how it's changing. You can't stop the changing. You can fool many people, but you can't fool, you know, you can't fool the nature. The nature is beyond just my limited things. So you can't fool Lord Yama, the Lord of Death, right? So this story tells there was one man who was middle-aged and doing totally fine, felt healthy and all. And then one morning, he's having a pain in the chest. And he has pain, very hard pain in the chest. And then he sees Lord Yama's attendants coming. And he says, wait. This isn't okay. You know, how can you come and take me? You know, no, I wasn't sent any warning, anything. I have matters to take care of, right? My business I still have to take care of because of the virus and all, it's not doing well. I have to get it back in place so the employees can have their job. And, you know, my son, I have to put him through college, all this. It's not okay that you're coming. You need to give me some fair notice so I can have my affairs in order. So they, you know, they called their boss. And he said, okay, he's right. Leave him there. And he promised, I'll send you three messages, very clear messages, so you're going to know. You're going to get them, that you'll know, okay, I can have everything in place. I said, okay, very good. So he kept on going, enjoying his life. He forgot about this incident. And then after 2 years, his hair started turning gray. Here, like here, getting gray, right? So my guru used to say, you know, my Swami Vishnu, I'm changing every moment, moment by moment, my hair is turning gray, moment by moment, my finger's getting stiffer. After he'd go on and on, he'd say, don't think only Swami Vishnu's body is changing every moment. Your body's also changing every moment. So what happens is, started this, so no problem. He went on, he, you know, went, got some nice dye, had a nice color in this, so doesn't look any different. Then after a little while, then he's reading the morning newspaper while having his coffee and starts having to look at it like this. So then he gets some nice glasses and then he gets contact lenses, fancy contact lenses, so nobody even knows his eyes aren't seeing as well. So he keeps on going, not a problem, like this, right? Like this. Different things come, one other thing like this comes and goes. So then one morning, after a few years, again, he has the chest pain, and Lord Yama's messengers come. And he says, wait, your boss promised me he's going to send me three messages very clearly telling me that he's coming. It's not fair, he didn't even send me one. So Lord Yama said, no, I sent you very clear messages, but you didn't bother to read them. So main thing is also this body-mind, part of the idam, part of the change. It's a phenomena, phenomena that's like a wave that's going. It's not something that is solid like this. Something that, you know, so that, but I, who am working through this body, I'm the same one now as I was when I was a child. It's not a different one. So, but I'm focused on the idam, on the manifest world, the anatma actually, non-self, and not on what is that which is constantly there. Because it's so subtle or obscure, or this, so then I don't take the time to look into it. But then the consequences, he'll talk more about the consequences here, but what are the consequences then? It's the consequences, samsara, is the being caught up in the world of change, and world of change meaning the fact is changing, not the problem, but my identification, which brings the worry and the fear and all these other friends along with it. This is the issue. This is what happens. So then, in this way, one of the ways to do it is then to change. How am I going to break? To say, break no nama rupa, no name form. This is one step to help to melt away the name and form. Melt away my idea of name and form is to say, yes, everything is changing. So what form does it have? You can't give it a definite form. Anything you give definite form, that's the momentary form. Tomorrow won't be like this, in this way. So this is one very important point he gives here. Let's see a few other nice ones. This is another one. This is another one. What we're going to start doing each class, we'll take one of these points, the beginning of each class, and just do some meditation on it. But these are just some points to help to break this down. Because, you know, kind of like when you do a, when we learn division, right? Long division in class. Then we go through some steps. So it's easier if you break it down sometimes instead of one big step, so like this. So one other very helpful thing to look up like this. Exactly about this point that I as a conscious being am constantly the same one, constantly the same. What you do is you say, okay, there is some thought in the mind, something I'm focused on. So that's nama rupa, name and form. Whatever it is that I'm looking at right now, hearing now. That goes away and then another one comes up. I'm focused on the next one. It's natural that happens. What happens after one went before the next one came? Look at that point. And actually, this is, there's a Raja Yoga technique which helps with this very much. The Raja Yoga technique says, try to expand that quiet time between things. Like in the Raja Yoga, I'm sitting, meditating, focusing. And then the mind is, then mind focuses one thing. That wave goes away. I try to expand the time before the mind goes to something else. So that's for quieting the mind. Vedanta takes that and says, now look, what happens during that time between the times of the two objects were there? You focus on one. There's a dog. I'm looking at it. It goes away. Then I'm, you know, looking at a house. Between those two, what happens? I'm just aware, just conscious. So if you keep seeing that between the thoughts, conscious, the same one, same consciousness, very interesting. And so if you sit quietly and just see, okay, mind wandering now, that stopped, I'm there. Now wandering, now it stopped for a few moments, I'm there. You'll see, it's the same one all the time. So it'll be very much like, I'm seeing the sun, some clouds come. Then they go by, the sun is there, they come. Block, they go away. Is that a different sun all the time? Same one. When the clouds are there, how do I see them? Because of the sun. So in this way, becomes the base of the vision. So I as the awareness, if I just start recognizing that between the thoughts as they go, the same awareness is there slowly, gets a little easier all to see that same awareness is there when the objects are there too. Slowly that's a natural thing that comes out of it if you keep doing it like this. So that's other thing to help to point this out to ourselves like this. And then one other thing about to look at this, to help to look at this vision, is the interconnectedness of everything. That's one thing also. If I bring my attention to that, like for example, I look outside, there's the tree there. The tree I know is alive. There's prana, there's energy, there's life in it. Now, what's behind me? Same thing. There's energy, the life is me as individual. I'm alive, meaning there's life. Is that life different from this? Same one life is in through the different people, different animals, different objects. The same life force is there. It's not a different life force, same one. And life is recycled, right? Because whatever we eat, our food will be partially from minerals in this, but it needs, you know, needs the life element. Even the plants, I grow the plants in the garden, and I prefer not to get buy compost and things from the Home Depot and friends, because a lot of things from the slaughterhouse will go into there. But it needs also the animal product there. So, you know, worm castings is a good alternative in this. But in any case, it needs. The plants are going to eat the animals, right? And then we'll eat. Swami Vishnu used to joke. He's from South India, Kerala. So sambar, one of the staples, sambar, the spicy tug dal that eaten there. So what happens is, he'd say, today, you give me some sambar, some dal. And so I eat the tomato in it. Tomorrow I die, so my body's put in the ground, decomposes. Then the tomato plant says, wow, wonderful, very wonderful compost, very wonderful food. So then it grows there, and the tomato comes. Then you'll put the tomato in the sambar and you'll eat it. Where's that sambar? It's like you're eating Swami Vishnu now. But the point is, the energy of life is one in and through all of the same life is in and through all. So what is the difference, this one and that? Look, each cell in the body, is it a life form of its own? And actually, there's a wonderful article I didn't know as much about, wonderful article in the BBC I read a year ago or so. You can still see it, still comes up there a lot. In your body, the percentage of cells and things that are separate organisms that are your body, it's around the set, you know, not a huge difference in size, maybe even more not you. They wrote the articles, how much of your body is you? So it's a lot of it isn't even you, not from you. And you can have something transplanted, right, into you or transplant for you to somebody else. The one life is in it through all. So when we see the different people and animals and plants and this, seeing one life force behind them, then where's the difference? One life force like this. You can take it further then and see, well, everything, what is all the material in me? You know, five elements are in me, five elements are everywhere. Is this separate from all the whole thing? There's movement in me, there's movement. My breath, there's wind. Every movement, all the energy is in and through everything. So then even not just living beings, but everything, one interconnected whole. So you can take it further like this also. And then another thing, when you take it further like this, you say, well, everybody agrees on that everything is interconnected. Yes, and science is looking into this. All the different objects are interconnected. So then you can take it from one angle saying, okay, they're different objects and they're interconnected. But here it says, well, what do you mean all the objects are interconnected? You know, you really mean there's one presence that manifests as one interconnected thing, which manifests somehow seeming separate, but really all interconnected as one thing, because it's one web, meaning one thing behind. So really the interconnectedness, the one is the base. The objects are just the ripples, the ripple effect, not the base, because that interconnectedness is there no matter what happens, what objects are there. The phenomena, the noumenon stays no matter what the phenomena, what happens in the phenomena. So it's the same. So flipping the vision to the interconnectedness instead of the objects were interconnected, because that is, you know, that is what is in and through everything, because the nama rupa, names and forms, phenomena is the changing. but that which is behind is going to remain the same one. So these are different ways to expand this vision in how I, when I see the world like this. Very simple and practical, just bringing my attention to that. Swami Shivananda calls it unity and diversity, like this. You know, to see beyond the diversity, anything that we see as diverse, seeing that really is, there's a unity behind it. Unity, unit, there's one unit in it or behind everything. So this is, you know, to bring my attention to that more and more. This is how that, the idea of that vision like this. So like this. So this is, in general, what the first part of this verse, Ishavasimidam sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat, tena tekten, then the second part. And actually, jagatyam jagat, that which moves in the world, meaning moves and doesn't move. It means both. So that's why, very similar to this idea, okay, the one life force in and through everything, so I'm one with that. What about the other unmoving, meaning insentient? Well, same one is manifest as that too, like this. So this first half of the verse, then it talks about what is this vision? What is this vision that we're looking at? Second half is then application of this vision. It looks more at that, how to keep this vision. Because very easy to sit and contemplate a little bit, but then I have to deal with other things, and then where did it go? Like this. So this is what happens. Second portion, tena tektena bunjitaha magridaha kasya swidhanam. So that's also two parts. Tena tektena bunjitaha, by this renunciation, then you protect yourself. And magridha kasya swidhanam, and don't covet anyone's wealth, like this. So this portion is giving them practical. Okay, this is the vision. Try to look at it. And one thing one has to be aware with the vision is a vision is a bar, a very high bar. And one has to strive for that. One doesn't have to lower the bar and then, you know, okay, now I can pass it. One can say, okay, I can't jump over 2 meters yet. Let me put the bar at 1 meter as a preparation. And when I can do, I'll do 1 meter 10 seconds, 1 meter 10 centimeters, and 1 meter 20 centimeters, etc. It comes to me, and having grown up with metric in Israel, that I'm used to that. The feet and everything, is kind of very awkward. When we came here for sabbatical when I was in sixth grade. At that time, they were planning to change to metric in the USA. So in the cars, there was both miles per hour and kilometers per hour. They had both. The miles were bigger, kilometers smaller. And they were thinking, I think their idea was slowly make kilometers bigger, miles smaller, and then drop the miles. But somehow the mental resistance, because you're used to something, so it never came to be. But no problem. But in any case, so not to lower the bar, lowering the bar then compromising. So yes, so I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm going to work towards it, like this. So like Vedanta thinks of something like Vishishtadvaita that I mentioned, where yes, in the one hand, there is one infinite absolute, and the other hand, there's also changing, and they're both real, and this, which is like a compromise. It's like saying, okay, I can't jump over 2 meters, so let's put the bar 1.5. I'm happy with that. That's good enough. They'll say, well, you can't go to Olympics. Sorry, if you don't go over 2 meters, don't qualify. So it says that's not, you know, doesn't mean take Vishishtadvaita, take it as a stepping stone. Good. There's one infinite, and this thing has, you know, I still have to learn that this, I deal with this world and slowly. Okay. Do some stepping stone, no problem, but not to pull that down, because then then you're not striving for keeping the eye on higher goal like this. So what happens then is this vision itself, tena taktena, by this renunciation, is a form of renunciation, learning to renounce the individual idea. My idea as the two things, what makes me an individual is two things. It's It's mamata and ahanta, aham, I. So ahanta, I nis is one. And second, mamata, mama is mine, so mine nis, I nis and mine nis. So these two are what holds, what, you know, keep those identities are holding me as together like this. So literally this vision is helping to drop that idea, to shave away this idea. Like the example of, we gave of the sandalwood the other class, you know, if you keep by sanding it, the bad smell went away and then its own smell came out. So it's not I have to find some divine somewhere. I have to go to seventh heaven to find Satchidananda like this, but it's within me. So if I just, as these get thinner, then easier to look through, to see through. So the more I look from that angle and at the other, it is a renunciation. There is an, you know, external renunciation somebody can do, but that's an external thing. It's, this is the internal vision, because the internal vision is the most important thing. Because externally I can be, you know, I can be doing something or wearing something or not doing something, but what's going on inside like this? There's a nice story actually about that, about the internal compared to external renunciation. That King Janaka is in many of the older stories, is one of the reasons he's brought up is he was a king who is known to be a jnani. So although he has all of the, you know, all of the comforts and all of the responsibility around him, he didn't have, he had a clear vision like this. So to show, to be in the world, not of the world, to be involved in everything, but knowing that you're not this limited being, is it, this is an example for that. So the story is that one time some mendicant came to his palace. And the mendicant came and said, you know, they say you're such a great jnani, but you're in the middle of all this comfort, comforts of palace and everything. And you have all this power. So how can you be a jnani? How can you have self-knowledge? You are all caught up in all this stuff. He says, look, I'm a mendicant, so I'm free. I'm detached. Look, I'm going to go now to holy place, Varanasi, Benares. I'm going to go there for a pilgrimage. I'm going to walk there. You see, can you just leave everything and walk? He said, very good. I'll come with you. He tells his assistants, you take care of everything. I'm going away. He left with the mendicant, just walked out. So they walk for half a day. They're walking and walking. Then when after half a day they're going, the mendicant said, 1 minute, we have to go back to the palace. He said, what? Why do we have to go back? He said, I left my begging bowl accidentally in the palace. I have to go beg for alms now. I need my begging bowl. So he said, you see, we walked all this way. You're carrying the begging bowl, your possession, in your mind. The whole palace, all this. This I dropped, I left. Where is it? So to show the Viveka Vairagya isn't, you know, it's an internal thing. Again, that being said, somebody has the inner, inner strength, inner conviction to renounce like that still. That's why they're very much revered, because they put all this aside just to look for something deeper, and that we don't have the courage to do, or you could say, then there is a lot of reverence for that, on one hand, and also a simpler life, you have more ability to contemplate on these things. So it's not to bring down renunciation, external renunciation, but just to point out the difference between these two things. But again, it doesn't mean one has to be a renunciate to have this understanding. It's helpful. You know, it's like, for instance, when I studied in college, I was married and I was working and I taught some yoga classes. So more difficult to do. Somebody else is young, you know, full time there. A lot of the students there at UC Berkeley, then their parents are paying for everything. They just have to go study and then go hang out, do whatever. So much easier to do. But it's not impossible to do. Also, it depends on your sincerity in it. So the same way, you know, it doesn't have to be. One chooses one life one way of life or the other, but the vision is the same. The I as the Atma, Driktrish Viveka, is the same. Same five senses, same world outside. So in this, but a simple lifestyle is helpful. Less complication is helpful, that's for sure. If too much, caught up in too many things, then it makes it easier, that's all. So in any case, so keeping up this vision is a renunciation of my other things, as the other ideas are coming from myself as the limited entity. The aham and mama, I and mine, are an idea that I have, that I hold on to. And this is putting that secondary and putting this first. So putting that as the major thing. And this is the, as something which is just a, you know, just happens, just appearing for that time being, we can say. So then this is in itself a form of renunciation, changing how I look at things. And of course, what happens is to look at something differently, it's not something that I decide. From today, I'm going to look at something differently, done. And then it's not easy to do because my mind keeps running back to the other ways of thinking. You know, if I find some way that I'm thinking of things that aren't, you know, that aren't right, doesn't mean that it's fixed all at once. Maybe I've biased against a certain group of people for some reason. I had some experience, something. So I'm biasing. It's not going to go away all at once. But slowly, slowly, over time, if I keep looking at it, keep putting effort, then the way I look at the things can be different. So it's similar. It's not that all at once, now I'm going to see just Ishavasamidam Sarvam. But if I keep looking at it, you know, doing vichara, analyzing, looking this way, keep trying to see in that way, then slowly how I see things changes. Because how I see things is changing all the time anyway. So here, the bunji taha also means protect. Protect yourself by this renunciation. This is, I try to understand this, and then I, by trying to keep up this vision, I'm protecting myself from getting more and more caught up in samsara, and this, in all of this, ups and downs and changes. Because the ups and downs and changes are guaranteed. I remember 4 years ago, when our current president won the elections, right? Then in San Francisco, people are very depressed, a yoga center when we had some program there. So when I talked, I said, you know, the world is constant change. You know, many people in our area, like Bernie Sanders, right? Why didn't he run this? So I said, let's say Bernie Sanders become president now. I guarantee you, within a few months, we'll all be complaining also, one thing or the other. The world is constant change. So that's guaranteed. It'll be up and down, some more up, some less. It doesn't mean I don't have to deal with them. But the thing is, it's like the ocean is constantly going to have waves. You can't stop the waves of the ocean. Not possible. Yes, you can protect yourself, you know, have a better boat, tie it well, or shelter, whatever, yes. But you won't be able to totally stop its effect like this. Its effect on the body and this world you can't affect. And the mind to some extent you can't completely stop. But the more I look at it like this, the less that will substantially pull me. So this is the thing. Doesn't mean I have to be blind. I, you know, do what's needed to be done, but not having that control me. So this is then protecting by this vision. Because actually, this is a nice point that you know, you'll all, anybody who looks into this even a little bit can see it on themselves. This Swami Paramarthanandaji, one of Swami Dayanandaji's most brilliant disciples, he says like this: What is a sign of progression? Something comes up and happens. So we say what, you know, because we're all worried about what is this what. And he says, after not too long, you say, well, so what? You know, okay, so much has come, so much will go, this one also came. So the faster and easier the what becomes so what, then more I'm advanced. He says, for the jnani, the time between what and so what is very short. Because the overwhelmed at first and very quickly sees, well, that's the world. It's come, change in this and that. You know, so in this way. So this is how how this thing has to be looked at, and then use it as, it's used as an armor for myself. There's an interesting thing. There's some prayers that are called kavacham, an armor. The armor, you pray to the God, and that's an armor, protects you. Okay, but this one is the nuclear one, Iron Dome in Israel. I don't know if they have here, Israel, that they have that they're, very, very advanced in technology. So missile attacks, it intercepts most of the missiles. So this is the full Iron Dome that, none of these things can touch, because this is the best protection, because whatever is mine, whatever I identify with, that one is going to get shaken. But I, the consciousness, it's not touched by these. So this is what it is. So this is how we do it. And what happens is, when I hold on to or identify with Idam, with Anatma, then that's slipping away from this vision. And slipping away, then what happens by, if I identify with, I hold on to, then I will, if I start liking one part, not liking another, then it starts pulling here and there, and there I get all caught up. So that's how this one, learning more and more to see in this way, helps not to have this tug me everywhere. And it takes effort to do, for sure. As we said, like a high bar. Yeah, nobody said it's something that just, okay, very easy. It's very simple, but nobody said easy. But, there are people that I know, they have their job, very good job, but they go get a different job. It's not challenging enough. They want a higher challenge in this. They should take this up. This is the biggest challenge. What bigger challenge can you want than this, right? But this one will give you so much more than the more challenge or the more salary, more this in this way. So this is where this is at. So then next week we'll continue with this. The first half we can say sadhyam, what is to be, what is the vision, what is that we want to obtain. And second is sadhana, the means, what are the means to help to, procure and keep this one. So this second half is about this, the sadhana. So we'll continue next week with that. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.